This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. And by Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop in Litchfield. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph on WSMI.
All right, Tobinot, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. And a very special in-studio guest this week as our summer series continues. We will be talking with Melissa Van Giesen, athletic trainer for Hillsboro Area Hospital, and of course the Hilltoppers as well. Melissa, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Well, it's been obviously an extremely hot summer, and as an athletic trainer, hydration of the athlete is always one of your main jobs, if not the main concern. Just maybe talk a little bit about the challenges that 100 degree days for this long a period presents for you.
It's the worry of what kids do when they're not at the practice. I think a lot of times the coaches have finally started to understand the importance of hydrating them while they're there, but there's only so much they can do. So it's very, very important that the kids take care of themselves before they come and when they leave. So that's my fear, that they're not taking care of themselves when they're not in our care. So that's the big, huge importance that we try to push on them. Make sure you're drinking and eating before you come and when you go home. So
I guess, is it important maybe to get hydrated like before you go to bed, like drink some fluids then?
Yes, most definitely. You want to, the biggest thing, this sounds crazy, but what you want to be able to do is when you wake up in the morning, your urine doesn't look dark. You want, it's hard to do in the morning, I understand that, but at the same time, you want to be able to drink, and if you have to get up and go in the middle of the night, it is what it is, but it's better to do that than to worry about what's going to happen the next day when you're dehydrated.
And when we speak of the intake of fluids, is there anything that's better than good old H2O?
It's not necessarily better. What happens a lot of times when you do sweat and you're working and things like that, your sodium and electrolytes are broken down and taken away. So Gatorade is a great thing. It's a great idea to maybe drink a Gatorade when you're done, a Gatorade before, that kind of thing. But while you're exercising, water is most definitely the best thing to do. Before and after, Gatorade is a very good tool to help with that.
So say like on the sidelines for the Toppers this football season, will there be water in those coolers or Gatorade?
Most of the time water, but they do have big Gatorade. I think actually a lot of times anymore Gatorade gives to the schools, because the schools get sponsored by Pepsi most of the time. That's a big school sponsor, so they'll give them the coolers, and then they'll, Gatorade kind of goes with Pepsi, I believe. So they usually will give them the free powders and stuff like that just for short times, and it's enough to make it through camp and those early practices before school starts. So
is there any difference in the Gatorades, like from the powder that you're talking about where you just mix it into the water, and the pre-made drinks, are they the same or are they different?
They're the same as far as I understand. They do have the new there's like different stages of Gatorade, that there's not been a whole lot of research that kind of backs that up, but there's these new Gatorade chews that they talk about, that's a primer before you start. That's just kind of a process. I think it's Gatorade trying to just get you to have more of their product.
There's really
there's not been really been a whole lot of research as far as what the process of all that stuff is, but I do know that they've tried to be creative with other things. So
how, when we're getting into the early stages of football practice in high schools and stuff now, and how big a problem is muscles cramping up and stuff when it's this hot?
That the muscle cramping is all about how you take care of yourself. If you start cramping, I know that you didn't take care of yourself. So eating, drinking a lot. Unfortunately, there are those kids that play both sides of the ball and they're out there the entire time and they kind of can't help it if they take care of themselves. But as long as they're replenishing during those short special team breaks or short times when they're actually not on the field, it usually doesn't always make a difference. But usually game one and game two, you're guaranteed you're going to have some kid cramp. So it's just,
I know back,
we try not to, try to preach not to, but.
Yeah, I know back 100 years ago when I was in school, the coaches always, when you start practice of football and stuff in the fall, coach said, "I can tell every form boy that's out there, you know, because they've been out in the heat and the sun all summer and they're ready to roll."
Well, that is a big thing that there's actually a breakdown that the IHSA has and that the National Athletic Trainers Association has as well, that there is a heat acclimation stage where you have to gradually get your body into it, and how the IHSA has it where they can't, that for the first 2 days, all that they can wear is helmets, and then they can go to shoulder pads, and then, I mean, there's so many practices that they have before they can actually put their full pads on. That's an acclimation to get used to the heat, basically. It's not really a whole lot to do with the pads and how much contact, and it is, but not at the same time. It's more of a heat acclimation thing that they follow. So it is very important that you don't just jump right into it and go out there for 3 and 4 hours at a time, that you got to kind of get your body developed. So that's kind of the good thing about the football teams and having their camps now, where they're kind of practicing, but they're not, they don't have any equipment on, they're just going, running through plays and doing some light conditioning and things like that. It helps them for when August 8th comes and they can start doing their real practicing. It helps not having those bad situations with the kids. So
we are talking with Melissa Van Giesen. She is an athletic trainer for Hillsborough Area Hospital and the Hillsborough Hilltopper football team. And Uncle Ralph talked just a moment ago about how cramping and these different things. I guess from your perspective, the kids can't lie to you. If they cramp up, they can't say, "Well, I did X, Y, and Z before." Obviously not.
Yep. Always my first question when a kid cramps, I go up to him and say, "So, what'd you have for the game? What'd you have for supper?" And 9 times out of 10, unfortunately, they'll say either something really bad like McDonald's or nothing. They ate at lunch, and so that usually leads to bad things.
And they didn't have time, so they didn't eat anything, which is totally ridiculous, or yes, if you want to be real honest about it, stupid.
Yes.
Well, what's worse, Melissa, eating nothing before a game or eating fast food?
Probably eating nothing. At least you have a little bit of something in your body, but the fast food is just terrible in a whole lot of ways. So it puts something in your stomach, but it's not going to give you any sort of good energy and good stamina to be able to do something for 2.5 hours out on a football field. So.
But, you know, Tim, playing in the extreme heat, as of course we are doing right now, has went on for forever, as long as I can remember playing sports. And I always tell the story about we were playing a baseball game, and I used to pitch and was known to throw a spitter now and then.
Why does that not surprise me?
And first two guys up hit home runs off of him, and the coach come out and he said, "What in the H is the matter with you?" He said, "Them guys really hammered you." And I said, "Coach, you realize it's closer to 100 out today?" And he said, "Well, what's that got to do with it?" I said, "My spitter's drying out before it gets up to the plate."
And that was probably back in the day when the spitter wasn't even illegal yet.
No, they hadn't.
Hadn't outlawed it yet.
Yeah.
We are talking with Melissa Van Giesen here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We need to get to a break. The sports show rolls on following these messages.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President and Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with 4 locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
And at 9:15, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsborough. It's the home of the Big Porky. A heat advisory is in effect from noon Sunday until 7 o'clock Thursday night. Sunny and hot for today. Expect highs in the mid-90s. Heading into tonight, mostly clear skies. We'll have lows in the upper 60s. And for Sunday, mostly clear skies. Highs once again will be around 95 degrees. At 9:15, we do have a temperature reading of 82 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Parrott's Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8 to 5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
Party in the Park, July 20th and 21st, has so many new events to choose from this year. The first annual Party in the Park 5K Run and Walk, sponsored by St. Francis Hospital, is Saturday starting at 7:30. Catch the new Slim Down Litchfield Weight Loss Contest, being held on both days for anyone interested. Plus, stop by the stage for a chance to win a car, no purchase necessary. Find the schedule and registration forms at www.litchfieldchamber.com.
And at 9:17, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobin, thank you very much. We are joined in studio today by Melissa Van Giesen, athletic trainer for the Hilltoppers and at Hillsboro Area Hospital. And Melissa, let's talk a little bit about the schooling involved to become an athletic trainer for people who don't know and think, oh, that's quick and easy. Not the case.
No, it is not. Anymore, you have to go to a school that has an accredited program, which means that they have a process of making sure that you do every little class that is qualified to take the final exam. And then once you get you take this very large, invasive exam, you then have to get licensed within your state. Illinois, you have to be certified in order to get your license. So all athletic trainers are certified by taking the national exam. It's just like boards with the doctor and the other tests that lawyers have to take and things like that. So it's just at a different level, of course.
So do you have to get recertified every year?
You have to do continuing education, and then you have to pay the money to the state for to keep your license, basically. So I have to pay to the Athletic Trainers Association to keep my membership with them. And if you don't keep your membership with them, you have to worry about paying other fees and taking care of things. So they kind of reel you in by making sure you pay that. And then you have to pay your state licensure on top of that. But it's you got to play their game. It's worth it for what you had to do in the long run. So.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I would imagine it's a pretty neat field to be in once you're certified and have gone through all the hoops.
Yes. I have a great position because I have a family. I work 8 to 4:30 in an outpatient physical therapy clinic, and then during the fall, I get to work with the football team and travel and do things like that. But during the school year, I go one time a week to Hillsboro High School and check on the athletes and make sure that everyone's okay. If they're not, I check them out, give them my recommendation if they can just do exercises or if they need to do physical therapy or if they need to go to the doctor because it's a little more serious, things like that. But there's other settings that athletic trainers do. A lot of times when you see an athlete on the field, if you're watching a game, the first person that runs out there is the athletic trainer. So that's a professional setting. There's college, there's high schools that have enough budget and money that actually have athletic trainers on staff at their high school. You can work in an industrial setting where you work. There's a place in Mount Vernon that has an athletic trainer on staff that takes care of their employees. When their employees get hurt, it kind of is a way for them to help not pay for so many medical bills. The athletic trainer just takes care of them. So there's all different kinds of routes that you can go.
And the high schools in Montgomery County are really fortunate that Hillsboro Area Hospital really allows for there to be athletic trainers at all the sporting events.
Yes. We wish we could. We were able to help more, do more basketball games, do some other sports as well. But we do just work the football games. We have another athletic trainer that's my boss, Chris Witten. He works with Nokomis. And then Litchfield has a different contract with another place that they have one there all the time. But they have more budget per se. So,
and I would imagine that the feedback you guys get from parents and kids is nothing but positive.
Yes, yes. Most of the time they don't realize what I do and what I'm there. And then when I'm able to help them and give them advice, a lot of times I try my best to steer clear of the ER, because a lot of times people just, you sprain your ankle, they automatically go to the ER, and it's usually never necessary. There's maybe 2 in 10 chance that I'll send a kid to the ER. It's just, it's not there. So I usually can help them just for a short period of time to fix it and not have to worry about getting to the doctor immediately, because most of the time the injuries aren't that serious. So
that was a question I was going to ask. When someone is injured on the field and you have to go out there, then not only do you have to go out there, but you have to make the judgment. Is this serious? Can I, you know, kind of fix them up until they can get to the emergency room or whatever?
Yeah.
And that has to come from you. You have to make that decision.
Yes. And it's sometimes a little bit stressful, but I don't know. That's the enjoyment that I get out of doing my job. I get the trust of the coaches and the athletes and everyone that's there, but all the education we learn, mm-hmm. it basically goes down to your gut. If you feel like it's not a good situation, they need to go to the hospital. So, it's not really that hard, but it's nice that I know when they are a little bit banged up and I know I can do something tricky to fix them, to get them to go out and play. That's always a fun thing to see, that they're out for a few minutes but get to go back in. So it's a good enjoyment that I see. I never like to pull the ambulance out on the field. That's never a fun thing. But
yes,
sometimes,
especially at a high school game, you never want to see that. And unfortunately, I've seen it a couple different times at football games. But it's always amazing that the paramedics, I mean, obviously they're right there on standby all the time, but that's a situation. You just got to take your time. If the game stopped for 20 minutes, it stopped for 20 minutes.
Yep, you do. You have to just, those are little human beings there. You got to take care of them. So it's very important to do what's best for them.
And I would imagine when you're trying to determine whether a kid can go back into the game, you know, I mean, it's all happening so fast. The coach wants to know, the kid wants to know, but these are high school kids. I mean, yes. And realistically, none of them are going to go on to play college ball, certainly not pro ball. So you've got to concern yourself with the next 30 years of their life.
Yep. A lot of times kids will, when I feel that it's not necessary, I have taken helmets away from kids and hit them, because I know that it's just a high school football game. Yeah. It's really not that big of a deal. And you get those kids that are little fireballs that like to just sneak in there and, no, I'm the boss, not you. It's not worth it. So you have to teach these teenagers that life is yet to come. So
how tricky is it to diagnose a concussion on the spot? Of course, that has become the number one concern, not only for football, mainly football, but all sports in general, is the concussion of the younger athlete. Is that a tough thing to get right on the field?
Unfortunately, no. There are a lot of, especially when you get to know the kids, sometimes if you're stuck in a situation where you're not familiar with their personalities, it may be a little bit more challenging, because you can see different aneurysms and things that they do that's not normal. But there's so many old school ways that are concussions that don't exist anymore. Those little bell ringers that everyone used to think was no big deal, that is a concussion. And so it's something that very important. It's a law in Illinois now that if those small things happen, it is my duty as an athletic trainer to take those kids off the field. And I'm very blessed that we get to make that decision if it's right or wrong. It's either myself or a physician. So there's no one else that gets to kind of push their buttons and say, well, what about this? No, it's what our policy is, if I feel like the kid needs to come out, I make that decision that he comes out, and then we send them to the physician. That I don't make that final call that they're going back. So
are you covered from a legal basis if something did slip through the cracks somehow, to where if a parent wanted to maybe come after you personally, are you covered legally, or are you liable?
Where there is malpractice things, but it rarely happens. Yeah. But yes, you do get malpractice insurance, like doctors do and things like that. And we are covered through the hospital with just our practice, the way that we practice anyhow. So, yes.
Concussions. You get one, you're more susceptible to getting another, obviously. At the high school level, are these kids subjected to like a baseline test before the start of the year so you can go back and have something to compare it to, or not?
We unfortunately don't have the budget out there yet. There's more and more. There's an impact system is what it's called. It's a company that's trying to get it. So it's very reasonably priced that all the schools are doing it. But it's not mandated through the law that they have these at first. But there's a lot of bigger schools and Springfield especially, just I've been to a recent convention that a lot of the athletic trainers that were there, they all have their baseline thing. We have a little balance machine that we've tried before, but it's so not direct. There's a lot of these new systems that have them directly on a computer, and they're sitting at a computer, and it kind of tests their brain. They're like mental challenge games, essentially. And so then they take those in the beginning of the season, and then after they have a concussion, then they have to take them again, and then you see the score from what they did before to now. So there's always that slight subjective and not so much objective measures that are within them, but most of the time those computerized programs can tell if a kid's had it or not. There's a certain score that they have to be based on. So,
do you feel being in the business for a while now, do you feel that sports manufacturers, helmets, pads, and stuff have really improved the equipment quite a bit for kids, for their safety, in other words?
Yes. Rydell and Schutt both have developed new helmets that there's so much padding, and the correct way that it's when certain things happen, it tries to prevent those little blows of the head and things. But at the same time, frequently there are concussions where the kids don't even hit their head. It's if their head or their shoulder pad hits the ground or their body hits the ground, and then their head's just, it's like you get whiplash almost. A lot of times that jostles your brain around, and that's going to cause those little bell ringers and things that people think aren't concussions, but they are. The second you feel not so good, you're nauseated, you're a little dizzy, you have a headache, that's the start of a concussion, and that's when it's necessary to quit and not be playing.
Can you tell that the... What?
I was just going to say, she just described you and me on Saturday morning.
Pretty much, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty much. I think I got a concussion right now. But Melissa, have you been able to tell a difference in the changing of the culture at the high school level, maybe even to where 10 years ago it was, oh, you're fine, get back in the game? Has that pretty much changed?
From when I was a student to now, there's a big difference as far as sometimes people go a little, oh my gosh, do I have a concussion? They just kind of freak out about it right away. But I'd rather have that than those kids just kind of ignore it, because it's safer for your brain. You're still got 50 to 60 years of your life left. Why are you going to ruin it now? So it's very important, and I almost feel like it's helped within the community as well. Other people, kind of when they've been in a car accident or something like that, they feel funny. I wonder if I have a concussion, and so it's good that everyone is kind of getting that outside of education as far as other things that are going on too.
And I guess now with the JFL programs, it's more of a focus now. So as these kids maybe get into high school, they'll be more aware of not diagnosing it themselves, but right, being aware when maybe something's not right.
Yes. That's kind of the scary thing about those smaller league programs, that there's a lot of little kids out there doing things that it's a little nerve-wracking what's going to happen to their little bodies too. But
yeah, they're developing so rapidly, and their limbs and stuff are very fragile.
Yes.
And a contact sport like football, you can get hurt pretty seriously, pretty easy.
Yes.
Melissa, you come from, obviously, you got a young one. Your husband is a football coach. He played football. There's been a lot of conversation. You know, you hear former professional football players now saying, I wouldn't want my kid to play football because of the violence. Is that something, like you personally, is that something that you feel is appropriate? Or do you think, well, let him play and, you know, it may not happen?
I think it's all about your education and using your brain. Yeah. I have so many people say, I don't want my kid to play because I don't want him to get hurt. I don't want him to. Well, there's equipment. There's safety precautions. When they're hurt, that's when it's time to stop. But you can't not let them do it, in my opinion. I love football. It's my favorite sport to work, especially. So I understand that it's dangerous, but mm-hmm. You can get in a car and the same kind of things can happen. So it's all about using your brain. And a lot of times these NFL concussion things are coming up. Well, most of the time they weren't using their brain. And so mm-hmm. That's why they're having so many issues with it now, is that those little bell ringers that were back then, they just ignored it. So that's the importance of when something hurts, you need to get it taken care of and make sure that you're smart with yourself. So,
and this sentiment's pretty true for all the high schools that we deal with, I would say, WSMI, but especially at Hillsborough, whenever we talk to Coach Duff on Saturday mornings following his game on Friday night, no matter whether it's a win or a loss, you can always hear in his voice that he really just cares about the kids,
yes,
first and foremost.
Yes, and that's the importance of sports, is that it's not about what's going on in the moment. It's about the lifelong lesson of what the sport teaches you. So it goes right back to the injuries. If you want to have this and ruin your life, well, you're not using your brain. So.
And as you stated earlier, before you ever step out on that field to start practice, a great part of what happens to your body is how you have prepared your body.
Yes, yes. And you do get those most of the time within the sports. You have all the same kids that come to all the preseason practices and things like that. But unfortunately, you do get those scragglers every now and then that just kind of jump out there. And unfortunately, those are the ones that are usually get hurt because they didn't prepare themselves to for what's ahead of them in the season. So,
Melissa, we thank you so much for coming in this morning. I guess before we let you go, maybe if you could just give a quick rundown maybe of hydration, the importance of it, especially with football practices coming up here, no break in the heat in sight. Just kind of maybe run down for people the tips to hydration.
The most important thing is early morning and late evening practices. Practicing in the heat of day, usually between 10 and 4 o'clock, is awful. Unfortunately, you got to kind of do a little bit of that. But if you're going to practice at those times, making sure they get frequent breaks, making sure they're getting lots of water, maybe even when they are getting a break, have a little snack, those kind of things. When the kids do get those bigger breaks in the middle, making sure that they're eating. But then those morning time before and after, the kids waking up 5 minutes before practice, that's not a smart thing to do. You need to get up a little bit before practice, eat something, get food and water in your body, even maybe a Gatorade, something nutritional. And then again, when you get home, make sure you're eating and rehydrating. It's the before and after stuff that's the most important. So,
Melissa Van Giesen, Hillsborough athletic trainer, thank you so much for coming in today, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right, we're back after this.
When the occasion is special, the ice cream should be special as well. Next time you want an outstanding dessert, serve farmer-owned Prairie Farms Old Recipe Ice Cream, the all-natural flavored ice cream made the old recipe way. Fresh country cream, the best fruits, nuts, and natural ingredients all blended to create a classic taste experience. It's Prairie Farms Old Recipe Ice Cream, and it's available in your favorite flavors, including butter pecan. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Hi, this is Kyle Bishop from Bishop Motors. The summer clearance event is taking place, and right now we have the all-new 2013 Dodge Dart in stock, ready for you to come check out and test drive. We have great incentives up to $5,500 rebates or 0% for 72 months on selected models. And best-in-class Chrysler Town & Country and the Dodge Grand Caravan have 0% for 60 months with good fuel economy. If you want best prices, best cars, and service, we are your best choice. Bishop Motors, where your word and a handshake makes the best deals.
We are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, and we thank Melissa Van Giesen very much for coming in here and talking about the importance of hydration and concussions. And Uncle Ralph, it's hard to believe, but Football Friday is about 5 weeks away.
Yeah, just a little over a month, and and we didn't touch on it much, but we talked about how warm it is now and how warm it's going to be during the practices, but even getting into the season, those first couple, 2-3 weeks of the football season on a Friday night can be brutal heat-wise, and you can have a lot of, heat exhaustion, cramping, and what have you, regardless of how good a shape you're in. It's just a normal thing that's going to happen.
Yep, you go from the extreme heat of week one to usually the coolness of the first week of the playoffs, and as we've always seen, the heat, while a factor, you can still cramp up when it's 20 degrees outside.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're not hydrated properly.
And while we're talking here this morning, Tim, want to remind our listeners that the old-time tractor show is going on out at Hillsborough Lake this today and tomorrow, and they've got a lot of things going on out there, a lot of things for the young folks and pedal poles and stuff. So if you're looking for something to do today and you want to go and look at a piece of junk that some guy had, and literally a piece of junk that some guy has taken out of the fence row or somewhere and made it into a beautiful antique tractor. It's really something.
Yeah, lots of good events going around the area today. That in Hillsboro, the Demolition Derby tonight at the Macoupin County Fair, and of course the Party in the Park in Litchfield continues today. We'll have live broadcast with Tobin coming up at 1:05 this afternoon here on FM 106.
Is he the lucky son of a gun? Gets to stand out, set out there in the sun this afternoon?
If you want to call it that way, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so. He's very lucky.
Just tempted to go along just so I could sit there, you know.
Yeah, but my fun's going to begin next month with football because I'm doing now public address for the Toppers this year.
Yeah,
and don't mess it up.
I'm either going to be praised or I'm going to be killed. So one or the other.
Well,
they take their football seriously there.
I know.
You better be ready.
I got four home games, and then I'll be back in basketball mode. And yeah, you know, that's my
when you get into Topper country during football season.
What's the sign they always put? Welcome to Hittsboro.
Hittsville. That's right.
Yep.
Yep.
So,
the Black Tide.
Yeah.
Orange and black is where it's at.
I've heard that before.
I have too. Yeah. I don't know where.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. He's kind of gloating right now because of a certain team being on top of the Central now.
Yep. The Reds lead the Central by a half game over the Pirates, 5 clear of the Cardinals. And the Cards and Cubs will play night baseball this evening. And then we'll have them on AM 1540 for you tomorrow at 12:20. And then next weekend, Cards Cubs at Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
I love when the Cards and Cubs play at Wrigley. There's nothing better than the Friday afternoon game between the Cards and the Cubs at Wrigley Field. That is good stuff.
I tell you what, we have all these multi-million, billion-dollar stadiums all around the country, Tim, in baseball. And then we go to Wrigley Field that looks like it could fall down during the game, but it never has. And what a better place in the world to watch a baseball game than Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
You probably pay $50 for a seat and you're sitting behind this steel girder and you got to go like this to watch the game. But, hey, the stand is full. Everybody's having a good time, whether they're a Cardinal fan or a Cub fan. And Murphy's and all the places around to go to before. It's unbelievable.
If you've never been to Cards Cubs in Chicago, you got to go.
Oh.
It's like no other experience at a baseball game.
And you know, what's so nice to see with the Cardinals and the Cubs, they're one of the, if to me, probably the best rivalry in baseball, regardless of where they are in the standings. But these teams go out there and compete, but they're not bitter with one another. You take the Yankees and the Red Sox, some of these things get pretty hostile.
That's true, but I would say the reason the Yankees and the Red Sox get hostile is because they've met in the playoffs quite a few times. You know, they are usually first and second in the AL East battling out for the top spot. The reason the Cards and Cubs is friendly is because the Cubs stink.
Well,
and have stunk for such a long time. You know, the Cards Cubs have never met in the playoffs.
No,
you know, rarely are they good in the same year. So if they ever, I would love to see one time them meet in the NLCS.
That'd be crazy.
Oh, it would not be friendly anymore.
No,
it would
be crazy, though.
It would be crazy.
It would be crazy. But, you know, and Wrigley Field is so unique. You got those people sitting across the street there, up there on top of that rooftop and stuff. It's a crazy place.
That's one thing on my bucket list I want to see. My goal is I want to see a ball game in every big league ballpark if I could. But Wrigley is one that I would.
And I guess they tell me, and I've never had the opportunity, and I'm sure I probably won't in my life, but I guess they tell me the next experience to Wrigley Field would be Fenway Park.
Yeah. Well, Fenway's actually, 2 years older, maybe 4 years older than Wrigley.
But the green monster there in Fenway Park, I guess it's something to see.
That and Yankee Stadium, well, of course, now they're in that new ballpark. But Yankee
they got
Stadium
a new launching pad there now. But the neat thing about Fenway and Wrigley is they're so old, they are literally right in the middle of communities.
Yeah.
And you don't get that anymore. The feel when you're in Wrigleyville, it's like nothing else.
Yeah.
It is so cool. So the Cards and Cubs will be up in Wrigley next weekend, and no matter what the Cubs' record is, they always play the Cardinals tough.
Yeah, play them tough.
Like last night, Dempster gives up 3 in the first, but then shuts them down basically the rest of the way, and they win 4-1 to the Cardinals last night. Another great effort from Kyle Loesch. And Uncle Ralph, is there a pitcher that's more looked over maybe even disrespected amongst his own fan base than Kyle Loesch.
No, probably
this guy
not.
Led the team in wins last year. I think he even led him in ERA as well. But it seems like people just do not believe in Kyle Loesch. This guy, when he's healthy, he's dominant.
And it looked like last night, the first inning, the Cardinals come out and score three. And it looked like that Loesch was going to fumble around and maybe get rid of that lead. But he gave the Cubs one run and then settled down and went from there. And, you know, you look at the Cardinals and Cubs rosters, and you look at the Cubs last night, and, man, you talk about a bunch of no-names.
Yeah, I mean, they are in rebuild mode.
Yes, they are.
We'll see if Dempster is still a Cub by the end of the weekend.
He didn't show, if the Dodgers are hot after him, he didn't show him too much last night in that first inning. Although after then, he settled down
pretty good ball. And that was risky from the Cubs' perspective to send him out there. What if he gets hurt?
Yeah.
You know, then you get nothing.
And I don't know. You know, the Cubs, as you said, they're in rebuilding mode. And you got to, you know, when you build a building on a farm, if you're building a pole building, the first thing you do is set the poles for the foundation. And the Cubs has got to, I don't know whether Dempster's one of those guys, but you got to build a team around something.
Well, to me, they've got three pieces that they can really build around. Starlin Castro, the Rizzo kid, who's their young stud first baseman, and Jeff Smarja,
yes,
the starting pitcher. Those three guys are young and supremely talented. So if you can start to build around them, I think you can really start to go.
He hasn't been up too long, but I tell you what I have seen him, I'm really impressed with this Rizzo.
Yeah, he looks like the real deal.
He looks like a guy when he's up there at the plate, yeah, throw it in there, I'm going to hit it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks like he's going to be a good one. He might be the face of the Chicago Cubs for a long time to come. But, of course, baseball is a funny game. You see it a lot where rookies come up and they have great success, and then the pitchers adjust to them, and then it's the question of can the hitter – adjust back to what the league is doing to them.
And there's very few rookies that come up that don't go through that. After they've been around the league a time or two, the word gets out, hey, he can't hit that low inside fastball or, you know, high and tight or whatever. But he looks like the real deal.
Yeah. David Freese has kind of seen that this year where he's getting busted inside a lot more with fastballs than he ever was last year. You do not see David Freese get consistently pitched away anymore after he pretty much proved that he can take that outside pitch and put it over the fence.
Well, Yogi Berra had the simple analysis all that. Guys, you know, sports people would say, Yogi, how'd you hit that ball? It was a foot out of the strike zone. He said, looked like it was down the middle of the plate to me.
Yeah, he had a few of those one-liners.
He had a bunch of them, and I guess you'd say he was a right fair hitter.
Yeah, I think you could say that. He won a few ball games.
Yeah.
Of course, last night they got three in the first, and then their last run came in what is being reported as the longest home run in Busch Stadium 3's history.
Yeah. Now, last night they said of the year, and this morning they said probably of history.
It 469 feet over Big Mac Land.
And it didn't take long to get there.
No. I mean, Holiday hits the ball hard.
Yeah.
On the line. Hit so many hard ground balls that just find their way through the infield. But that was a batting practice home run, that thing he hit last night.
Yeah. And he gets in these streaks once in a while where he'll still be hitting the ball hard. But as they say, he's got that Adam ball. He starts hitting it at him.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And they, you know, throw him out. He gets in those streaks. But, you know, he's a good hitter, which compensates for some of the other facets of his game that aren't quite so good.
I think Mark had a flashback seeing that ball go out 469 feet.
Probably.
Well, I used to, there was a day.
Yeah.
Way back when. But I don't know if there's a more unlucky player than Matt Holiday. Anything that can go wrong for this guy seems to go wrong. Of course, last year, appendectomy after the first game, had a moth fly into his ear, got hurt swinging in the on-deck circle. This year, just in the last road trip, finally gets a clutch hit to get that win in Milwaukee. Next game, first at bat, gets drilled in the thigh and has to miss a game. I mean, this guy, if he didn't have bad luck, he'd have no luck.
Yeah, and he really recovered from that getting hit.
Looked all right last night.
Yeah, quicker than, I thought he would. I thought maybe he might be out for four or five games. But some people shake those injuries off. much quicker than others.
Yeah, and you would have to say, guys, that the Cardinals to this point have been a major disappointment. You look at the talent offensively, the talent pitching-wise. You look at the individual stats. Their pitching numbers are good. Their offensive numbers are about as good as anybody in the National League. Their run differential, I think, is the best in the National League. But here they sit, 21st of July, just three games over 500. For whatever reason, they haven't been able to put it together all year. When they pitch, they don't hit. When they hit, they don't pitch. And it just leaves you scratching your head because the talent's there. And that's why you hear them talking about, well, they need to get a starting pitcher here or get bullpen help there. I don't really know. I would prefer to see the Cardinals do nothing.
Yeah.
Make no moves. Don't give up any prospects. Do nothing, because I don't know that a move is really going to help you. You know, if you get another starting pitcher, is your rotation really better? I mean, who are you taking out? Joe Kelly's been good. Lance Lynn's been fine, except for that little bump he had right before the All-Star break. You're not getting rid of Wainwright out of the rotation. Loesch isn't going anywhere. Westbrook's not going anywhere. The offense is, you know, it is what it is. They don't get the clutch hit from time to time, but position by position, they stack up with anybody in baseball. So I just don't see a move that they could make that would make them significantly better.
Well, a move they could make with the quality of talent that's out there. There's not a whole lot. You know, sometimes this time of the year, some of the have-nots will have ball players that's pretty good, and they need to get a little cash in their pocket and stuff. So there's some blue chippers out there. But there, you look at what's out available this year, and I don't see many blue chippers that somebody's going to get rid of.
The worst thing you can do is to make a move just for the sake of making a move. If it's not going to make you better, don't do it.
No.
I'm almost thinking that this trade deadline will probably have minimal. I mean, we've had a couple trades yesterday.
Yeah, Toronto and Houston made a big move.
Right, but outside of that, I can't see it, because you've got teams, with, especially with that second wild card spot, that are technically still in it, you know.
Well, that second wild card makes all the difference.
Oh, that's going to make a big difference.
Like, basically, three quarters of the American League is within two games of the playoffs. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. The only one that jumped out and run away and hit a little bit is the Yankees.
Shocking.
I think they're, what, 9 out or 10? But, yeah, and, you know, just, you know, you're talking about Toronto and Houston, they just shuffled a bunch of players around. There really was no...
Yeah, there were no game changers in those deals.
Of course, who's Houston got that's a name player? You know, they...
Not many.
And they're in the rebuilding mode, you know.
And they're off to the American League next year. Have fun with that.
Yeah.
You know, they've been losing 100 games in the National League the last couple of years, and now they get to go to the American League.
Yeah, lucky for them.
Lucky for them. We need another break here on Sports Saturday. We're back following these messages.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name, with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today, or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:48, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. A heat advisory is in effect from noon Sunday until 7 o'clock Thursday evening. The forecast for today includes sunny and hot. We'll have highs today in the mid-90s. Lows will be in the upper 60s. We'll have mostly clear skies for tonight, by the way. Heading into tomorrow, mostly clear skies, highs once again in the mid-90s. An extended look for the forecast, Monday through Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, hot and humid. Highs will be around 100. The lows will be in the upper 70s. At 9:49, we have a temperature reading of 82 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:49, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinot, thank you very much. The British Open is underway in the third round. Tiger 2 over through 3 holes, so he's now 6 off the lead of Brant Snedeker. And I always love the Open Championship. That is just, it's just so different. You get over there in England and Scotland, the sun's never out. You know, it's raining every day.
Yeah.
A little different than here.
And Tiger just... he gets pretty well up to the top of the hill, but he just never gets to the top.
Can't quite get there right now, can he?
The British Open, is that the one with the island hole?
No. No. Okay. That would be in America.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was the one with the...
No, that's at Sawgrass, TPC at Sawgrass.
Okay.
The famed island hole. But yeah, Tiger was right there at the U.S. Open, tied for the lead, or even had the lead, I think, going into the weekend. Did not play well.
Yeah.
Finished strong yesterday to get within 4 of the lead, but now he's 2 over through his first 3 holes, and I keep thinking he's going to break through and win one, and I still think he will, but...
Well, he won a tournament here not too long ago. It wasn't a big tournament, but he did win, but...
He's just set the bar so high for himself. He's already, I think he's won 3 times this year on the tour. No other golfer has won more than once, but yet everybody keeps saying, when's he going to come back? Because his bar is majors.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played well in the majors, and he's off to another rough start this morning at the 141st Open Championship. 141 years.
Long time.
Long time.
Been a little few changes in the game of golf since that first one.
From wooden shafts to graphite and all the rest. Think about how those golfers back in the day, what they were doing,
you know,
with that inferior equipment.
We talk about the 140th tournament, and here we are, might as well say the 1st of August, another week, and we've got pro football camps, and high school kids are going to start to practice for football, and, you know, it's just 5 weeks till the first high school game, and it's just amazing where time has flown.
Yeah.
Just flies by.
Maybe the one place where it's not flying by at all is in State College, Pennsylvania, where Penn State is still embroiled in this horrible controversy stemming from the Jerry Sandusky situation. And I guess in the next 72 hours, the new president of the university is going to decide whether the statue of Joe Paterno will stay or whether it will come down. And Penn State, to me, is really dragging their feet here. I mean, they're starting to look like they've had their head in the sand for going on 2 decades now. It shouldn't be that complicated of a decision, I wouldn't think.
I think you're right, and I agree with you, Tim, but I think the people that's had their head in the sand for a long period of time is the college gurus. They've looked the other way for too many of things like went on at Penn State and Ohio State and places. They've looked the other way too long. They're going to have to get serious and say, guys, we're going to clean this game up, and you're going to play according to the rules, not according to your rules, but our rules. It just looks to me like that this thing is so close to being out of hand. Maybe it is out of hand with what went on at Penn State. You're going to have to get to work.
Well, shortly after this all broke back in September, I think it was September, might have been early October, I came on this show and said, give them the death penalty. Give the football program the death penalty. And that was before all these terrible details have come out about the extensive cover-up that went on. I just don't see how the NCAA can justify allowing Penn State to keep their football program when they have shut down programs for illegal payments to players, when they've heavily sanctioned programs for tattoos or food or free shoes, these different types of things. I just don't see how they can morally not do anything to Penn State. What happened to Penn State, if you just want to talk from a football perspective, is the definition of lack of institutional control. What went on at those facilities for all those years and the cover-up that went all the way up to Joe Paterno himself. If they don't slap the death penalty on Penn State, to me the NCAA should disband. There's no reason for them to exist. If you're not going to take care of this, if you're not going to bring the hammer down on this institution for what went on, I don't ever want to see you penalize an institution for payments to players or for free meals or free cars. Get out of here.
And I think they will drop the hammer on them, but they're waiting to see what Penn State does on their own. And I think
they probably are, but the problem is Penn State's had more than enough time.
I agree, it shouldn't have taken that long.
Yeah. You know, once that report came out a couple weeks ago, it should have been the next day.
And you're starting
to take care of it.
You're starting to see they're renovating the locker room area. They're doing extensive renovations there. I think my gut feeling tells me that the statue will probably go down, will probably come down.
If you're a fan of Penn State football, how can you with a clear conscience go to a game there and root for that football team? Knowing what they represent is no longer football. It's something much, much worse.
Playing the devil's advocate a little bit, guys. You two gentlemen, give me your opinion. Should the statue come down or stay?
I'd say it comes down.
I would have to agree that it should come down just because of what it represents right now. You know, it to a lot of people, that is just kind of a fixture of what happened there and the cover-up and everything that went down. So I think if they don't take it down, unfortunately, I think someone's going to rip it down.
Well, I agree with you there. I think it'll come down one way or the other.
The other thing is, I think they're going to remove Paterno's name off of it, you know, whether it's the library or whatever. And that's sad to say, but I think that's got to go too. I mean, you got to have some kind of a reminder saying, hey, this actually happened. Let's not forget that this happened. But you also have to have some kind of symbolism to say, hey, we've moved on. But
what's really made me sickened is whenever I hear the Paterno family or supporters of Penn State come out and talk about how this is just one chapter in the legacy of Joe Paterno over 61 years and that he helped so many kids along the way, did this, this, and this. I don't care. You know, to me, what Joe Paterno proved is the only kids he cared about were his football players. You know, you can't sit here and convince me that Joe Paterno cared about kids. I don't care how much money he donated. I don't care how many kids graduated. Irrelevant. He had a chance 20 years ago to help all those kids who wound up being victims. And he did nothing because he wanted to protect his football program. He made his choice.
But, you know, he could have, looking at that from another angle, Tim, he could have went ahead and stepped up and did what had to be done, and still protected his football
program. That's right.
Program.
That's exactly right.
It would have been, okay, I got an assistant coach that's been messing around with youngsters. He's gone, and it's over with.
That's right.
And the football program goes on. But, you know, there's a guy on Saturday Morning Sports that always uses this word, M-O-N-E-Y.
That's right.
Now, the football program at Penn State has an annual return to Penn State of $56 million. Mm. Now, they're going to look at that a long time before they, you know, pull the plug on the bathtub.
Yeah. As great of a man as Joe Paterno was, and maybe he was a really good guy. Who knows? But when he had the ultimate test, the ultimate chance to really do good and help kids, he failed.
Yeah.
He failed. He chose to protect his football program. And their slogan was what? Success with honor. You know, he really pumped up the fact that they did it different than everybody else. Kind of holier than thou. We're better than you because we don't have recruiting violations. We graduate our kids.
I think
Who cares?
I think eventually when Penn State's going to probably get what Southern Methodist Church with the Pony Express. I bet you that something similar.
If they don't get the death penalty, I just don't see how the NCAA can be looked at as a serious organization.
And it's a shame that all this has to transpire when, as we said 20 years ago, he could have avoided all this. It's a shame because you got an institution that's been a icon in football, and now all of a sudden that's all flushed down the stool, and it's tragic. It's very tragic.
He was the most powerful person, not only at the university, but in the state. If he said enough's enough, it would have stopped right there.
Yeah, and the football program would have went on. And
yep, absolutely. We are out of time here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We want to thank Melissa Van Giesen, athletic trainer for the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, for coming in and talking about the importance of hydration and also concussions in football. That is it for Sports Saturday. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carthenville, and Greenville. For Tobin, Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim. We are done. NBC News Radio, next.